You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
And tonight we're going to be reading chapter 16 of the Kingdom of God, volume 2, The Greatest Prophet of the Kingdom. We'll be reading on pages 124 through 128. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. As we look at the life and the character of John the Baptist, he seemed to be one of the minor or lesser prophets of the Bible. Yet we know that he was great in the eyes of the Lord. When the angel prophesied about to Zacharias about the son he would bear, he said that many will rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, or Jehovah their Elohim, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. We will now refer to John the Baptist, or Jochanan the Immerser. He came as a forerunner of the Messiah. He was a lineal descendant of the house of Levi, or Levi. His father was a priest. John the Baptist was a child born by miracle, Jehovah having revealed to his father that Elizabeth, who had been many years barren, should bear a son. Jochanan, or John the Baptist, feared not the world, but went forth preaching in the wilderness of Judea, declaiming against the wickedness and the corruption. George Albert Smith, Journal of Discourses, Volume 13, page 41. John's appearance and education did not meet the standards of the local merchants, doctors, and lawyers, who, like their modern counterpart, expected ministers to be educated in approved schools of theology. He didn't live like they did, but rather in the uninhabited country bordering on Antipas realm. We're on page 125. By their standards, he was a recluse, residing separate from the rest of the house of Israel. And the reason he had to do that was because Herod had issued the edict to murder all of the children under 2 years of age in the area. And his family had to hide him. That's why he grew up in the wilderness. That's why he was separate from their society. But that's also what made him the prophet that he was. Somebody who was in the wilderness, he had to turn to God. He couldn't turn to rabbis and to high priests and to all of their vain and foolish teachings. So, continuing on. The Qumran scrolls mentioned, and that's the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're called, some of them are called the Qumran scrolls. And, man, there's some information in those scrolls. Anyway, but they mentioned that the only contact John had with the outside world was with the Essenes. The Essenes were a group of zealots who, I believe, Jesus Christ walked among and taught with. John was among them from time to time. And they were like some of the last holdouts of Rome. In fact, it actually took the Romans many years to build a ramp up to the top of this plateau that they lived on. And instead of being crucified by the Romans once their walls were breached, these people all committed suicide. So, really interesting history. If you want to know more about the Essenes, there's documentaries on YouTube. I can't recommend them enough. They're very fascinating stuff. Anyway, however, this uncouth, uneducated outcast greatly impacted the course of history. Prominent Jewish citizens found fault with John mainly because his raiment, or his clothing, was of camel's hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Likewise, many people said of the prophet Enoch, "A wild man hath come among us." That's what they said about Enoch, right? "And all men are offended because of him." Moses chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. And that's because, like Enoch, John the Baptist was a threat to the devil's kingdom. Satan knew exactly, he knew exactly who John was before he was in mortality. And he knew that he was going to be a threat because of how great John the Baptist was. In fact, in the 2013 vision where I was shown who I am, I was shown that John the Baptist was one who was mighty and strong. Which means, so when Lucifer rebelled, there was like seven or eight other mighty ones who were mighty and strong that went with him. And they were all cast out with Lucifer, and Lucifer lost his title and became Satan. And, or, well, Lucifer in Hebrew is Hillel. It means bringer of light, which is the job and office of the Holy Ghost, which offends a lot of people because their traditions and culture dictate that Lucifer is somebody else. But Lucifer is a title, not the name of somebody. Just like Satan is a title. Do you think God is going to honor him enough to give you his actual name when he rebelled the way that he did? Anyway, but so there were a bunch of these mighty ones that went with Lucifer in their rebellion. And God went among the noble and great ones, who were the prophets of God, to choose from among them to replace those who were mighty and strong. And then the Father went among those who were mighty and strong, and I was one of the greatest ones there. I'm not trying to, lift myself up. It's just that's what I was shown when God told me to ask him who I am. Anyway, but and I was chosen to take the place that Lucifer held before he fell as the evening star or the second witness of the Father. So anyway, but John the Baptist was one of those who were mighty and strong. He was one of the great ones. So was Enoch as well. So, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, but let me just go over it. The Elohim, or the Council of the Gods, stand under the authority of God the Eternal Father, who is Adam, Amen. Not Adam in the Garden of Eden, but God the Eternal Father. Jehovah, our Elohim, as it states all over the Old Testament, is one of the Elohim. Elohim doesn't mean gods. I think that's like trying to, well, it's hard to talk about it because we speak with English thoughts and Western mind, and they were not part of Western culture. Things are different with Hebrew mindset. But I don't even know how to talk about this stuff. It's difficult. Anyway, but underneath the direction of Jehovah our Elohim is Adam our father, who was Adam and, you know, Adam and Eve, that Adam, who was Michael in the beginning, right? So in the temple endowment, Jehovah, our Elohim, receives instruction from the Council of the Gods, or the Elohim, or the Mighty Ones, and they tell him to go take Michael to create an earth. And then when they get to where the earth is going to be created, they say, Jehovah, he says, Michael, go create the earth. And guess who does the creating? It's Michael. Joseph Smith, he stated that the title of God the Father is God the Creator. He's the one who creates. And if you want to know more about this interesting subject, you can go read a book called Mysteries of Creation by Ogden Kraut. And though he doesn't cover all of these topics, because he didn't have these revelations given to him like I've had given to me for these visions, but there's plenty of interesting information that God did reveal to the prophets of the Restoration, specifically Joseph Smith. But under the direction of Jehovah our Elohim, Michael created the earth, and Joseph Smith taught that a title of God the Creator is God the Father. So, anyway, but there's three in the presidency of this earth, and they stand under the direction of Jehovah our Elohim, and they are God the Creator, Adam, God the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, and God the Witness or Testator, who you call the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh, the set apart Spirit of God. underneath the authority of the first presidency of this earth, there are 12 who are mighty and strong. Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are also considered mighty and strong. But under their authority are 12 mighty and mighty and strong as well, and they're generals in the armies of heaven. There are four that there's five for each dispensation, but Michael was the first in his dispensation, and during that dispensation there were four others who came in that dispensation that were mighty and strong to lead the people of God and do the different things that they did as prophets during that dispensation. In the meridian of time, John the Baptist was the one who came to prepare the way for the Messiah. Dispensation was given to John the Baptist, even though Yeshua or Jesus is God the Redeemer. In this dispensation, Joseph Smith was the one that came to prepare the way for the children of Israel to be restored, as at first, with all the ordinances and all the stuff that needs to happen. And the dispensation was given to him. But he said that there would be one greater than him that would come. He talked in a couple of different places about how God, the witness, would come among you. And there's a lot of places that allude to this. Doctrine and Covenants section 45 is actually God the Witness talking to Joseph Smith. It's not God the Redeemer or God the Creator. I don't know. He's called the Davidic Servant, Messiah ben Yosef, the second witness of the Father. Claims all these different titles are given to him, the Marred Servant. And just let me say, the reason why he's called the Marred Servant, because he spends his whole life destroyed in the physical body, and he's hideous to look at. It's just that Satan knows who he is, and when he comes in mortality, Satan will try to destroy him in every way, shape, and form that he can, including marring his reputation by getting people to think that he's nuts or crazy or he's a horrible, evil person or whatever it is. And that's because he, the second witness of the Father, God the Witness, the Holy One, who's known as the Holy Ghost, comes in the flesh. And Joseph Smith taught that he would come. So, underneath the authority of the first presidency, and under the authority of the 12 mighty and strong ones, who are generals in the armies of heaven, there are the many who are noble and great. These are the elect of the elect, the prophets of God. And they're like the 70, the quorums of the 70s, and there's many different quorums. There's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh quorum. So, and then underneath that, you've got different auxiliaries and whatnot, but each of these prophets have a minor role to play in teaching truth and bringing about the kingdom and bringing about Zion's redemption. Now, I've heard people talk about how they think that Joseph Smith is going to come back as a reincarnated being to do a bunch of stuff. He had the opportunity to do what he could do, and he was obedient. but the leadership and the members were not. In fact, in the Doctrine and Covenants, it talks about how Zion would have been redeemed even now if it wasn't for the wickedness of the people. In another place, it says that God will redeem Zion with power, and it says that not like in the days of old where the presence of God went among them, but not his person, but his person would actually be among them. That's because he's sending his second witness to redeem Zion with power. And people who believe that Joseph Smith is the one that would do this, he assists. But he, as a resurrected being, doesn't have the authority on the earth to do that which somebody on the earth has authority to do. And Joseph Smith taught that as well. And in fact, when people say that Joseph Smith is going to come back as a resurrected being and he's going to set everything in order, if that were, and I wish it were the case, I wish it were. If that were the case, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything, right? If a resurrected being came back to set the house of God in order, as it talks about in Isaiah chapter 28, then why would there be a residue of the people who would repent? A residue of Israel who would repent. Anyway, so I'm going to take a phone call. Somebody's calling from area code 317, and we're going to bring them on and see what they have a question or comment. Area code 317, can you state your first name and where you're calling from, and then shoot me your question or your comment?
Hi, my name's Michelle. I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. I'll put you back in the box. If you have any questions or comments, just push 1, and I will see your hand raised on the studio, and I will answer anything I can answer at that point. So thank you for listening. Okay. All right. I'll put her, Michelle. Thank you for calling, Michelle. The prophet Joseph Smith explained that John the Baptist had a dispensation of the gospel, even though it is generally assumed that there was only one dispensation with the coming of John and Jesus. There came a dispensation of the gospel with the herald of Christ, John the Baptist, and a more complete one with the mission of Christ. So that's Correlated History of the Church, Volume 2, page 364. And basically, I think what that is saying is that John the Baptist had a dispensation, but there's dispensations within major dispensations. So there's 3 major dispensations for the history of this earth, and they are under the authority of the Morning Star, who is Adam, who was Michael, the Archangel, and he came in the morning of the history of this earth. Then you have the Bright and Morning Star, who came in the meridian of time, who is God the Redeemer, who we call Jesus, but his Hebrew name was Yeshua, and he was the Bright and Morning Star. And then you've got the Evening Star, who in the King James Version of the Bible is called Lucifer, or in Hebrew he's called Hillel. Okay, and Lucifer is a title which means light bearer, which is the same meaning in Hebrew, and he was the bringer of light and truth, or God the witness, when he rebelled and fell, another was chosen to take his place. And he is called the Evening Star because his dispensation was at the evening of the history, the telestial history of this earth. Now, during the millennium, they'll all be resurrected beings and they will walk among you. But in the telestial history of this earth, the first 6,000 years, there are different dispensations. The first, the morning star, the second, the bright morning star, and the third is the evening star witness. And, like, it drives me nuts how people are like, Satan and Lucifer are the same person. No, no. Lucifer is a title which means light bearer or light bringer, the one who brings forth light. When he rebelled in the war in heaven, he lost his name and his title and his throne and his authority, and he fell and became the god of this world because he was a god, lowercase god, as God the Witness. But when he fell, he became Satan, Hasatan, the accuser of the brethren. And another was chosen to take his place. Anyway, continuing on. According to the Frederick Farrer, John the Baptist promised admission into the kingdom of heaven to the pure and the clean, to those whom he had baptized. Life of Christ by Farrer, page 110. It was also a baptism of repentance to qualify for the kingdom. John's mission was to introduce the kingdom of God, which was a new government on the earth. He did not introduce or establish a church, as that would be done by the Messiah. John the Baptist would introduce the kingdom. Jesus would organize it and then become king over it. And just throwing it out there, I have the text to what I'm reading tonight on my Facebook page, which is open for anybody out there to read. My Facebook, and I've got almost too many followers, not followers, but friends, but you can follow me on Facebook. And I've posted the text, and that's at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. So Lazarus 1977. So, and I try to post the text to everything I read when I do the readings on that place. I also post them in my different groups: LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, Latter-day Unity, and LDS Gospel Mysteries, as well as Zion's Redemption Bookstore page and a couple of other places. So anybody out there can read the text and not have to listen to me carry on and have all the commentary, but this is what I do. So, all right. Even though they were not often in the same geographical location, John and Jesus worked as a team of missionaries. Our Messiah and his prophets cannot be separated from each other. Men cannot believe in one and not the other. John was a true prophet who bore record that Jesus was the Messiah. Accordingly, no one could accept John as a prophet without believing in Christ. And conversely, no one could believe in the divine sonship of Jesus without accepting the Baptist as his forerunner and witness. And that's according to Bruce R. McConkie of the LDS Church in his book, Doctrinal New Testament Commentary, Volume 1, page 590. Their work, their testimony, and their teachings did not end with their death. We cannot disregard or reject their testimony just because they are dead. Joseph Smith said that John was given the keys of the Aaronic priesthood, which means he had the rights to administer all of the ordinances pertaining to that priesthood. He added that he, speaking of John the Baptist, had his authority from God, and that's because he was ordained as a child by an angel that gave him that authority. And the oracles of God were with him. And I talked about this last night, but oracles doesn't mean a person. Okay, if they tell you that they're a prophet, and that means that they're the oracles, and if you reject the oracles, you're rejecting God, whatever. They drive me nuts. Oracles in Hebrew means exactly what it means. It is the words of God as given through the prophet, not the prophet himself. So John the Baptist had the words of God given to him, so he had the oracles of God. So All right, let's see here. And the kingdom of God was given to him for a season, and it seemed to rest with John alone. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 272. This means that John was the presiding authority over the Aaronic priesthood on the earth at that time. Some questions needed to be answered here in regard to the greatness of John the Baptist and his relationship in the kingdom of God. For answers, we had turned to the prophet Joseph Smith. The Jews could not see any greatness about John the Baptist. They felt the definition of greatness was wealth, popularity, honors of the world, and high positions in business, government, or religion. So they didn't want to accept John because John was a wild man who ran around in the wilderness and for some reason wore camel's hair garments, which is really weird, but okay, so he did that. Not as weird as Isaiah running around in the wilderness naked for 3 years or all the stuff that Elijah did, but you know, hey, whatever. And I've heard that locust and honey is actually pretty dang delicious, according to Michael Rood. But I don't know, because I don't eat bugs intentionally. Anyway, my 14-year-old son thinks that's hilarious. All right. Anyway, if I ride a motorcycle, sometimes I get them in my teeth. So I'm joking with my son. Anyway. And to them, he just didn't qualify. Okay, so he didn't qualify because he didn't look like a prophet should look according to them. He didn't look like he should have any kind of authority because he was a homeless dude in the wilderness that was doing some weird things, but he was preaching the kingdom of God, but they rejected him. They didn't reject him entirely because they would go out and see what in the world he was doing because he was a novelty, and like, you know, they didn't have TV back then, so you have to actually walk your butt down to where you want to watch the show. Anyway, nevertheless, this strange fellow that came out of the wilderness was great in the eyes of God. Thus, our first question is, how could John be considered such a great prophet when he never made any great prophecies, performed any great miracles, or wrote any great revelations? Why did Jesus say, among those that are born of women, there are none greater than the prophet John the Baptist? Luke chapter 7, verse 28. And it's the same thing. Like when I ask God why he chose me to be his witness, and to receive all the revelations and all of the visions and everything that I've received, when I know my life, I'm a truck driver. I was raised in a violent household growing up, and when I wasn't in that violent household, I was being raised by people who were military people, because my whole family's military. I'm like my grandparents, all of them, Army, Navy, Marines. My grandfather lost both of his legs in the Marines and Air Force. And my stepfather was in the Navy, and then he became Air Force, and then he became a civilian contractor, and we used to live on military bases and all that fun stuff, you know. So I was raised by these kinds of people, and I am a truck driver myself, so I'm kind of a rough individual, and I wish I was more perfect and polished, but like, when I look at my life, I'm like, why in the world would God give me all of the things that he gave me in knowledge and vision and seeing him and speaking to him face to face as I have? Why would he do that? And I was like, really, just like, why me? Why are you asking me to do these things? And I'm pretty sure that John felt the same way. And I'm pretty sure that God gave him the same answer as he gave me. It's not because of who you are now. It's because of who you were before you came to this earth. See, our spirits have always existed. Like, this whole Big Bang theory is a farce. It's a theory. When I asked God the Eternal Father in the name of Jesus or Yeshua, I wanted to know at one point, like, where he was. Okay, if he's eternal and, like, there was this Big Bang Theory thing that happened a long time ago, I wanted to know what he did before the Big Bang. Like, if he's always existed, where was he before, you know? And then, like, this whole thing where, like, we think we're the only planet. No. God's work in glory is to bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of his children and to use them to help create or organize the chaotic universe. He was the first who became self-aware. He came from something called the intelligence, which is eternal. He brings us forth out of the intelligence. That's where our spirits come from. And they are eternal, but they don't always have self-awareness. But when they become self-aware, that's when they become spirits. And they are eternal. We are all eternal. We have always existed. We existed before this earth was created. We existed before the solar system was created. We existed in all eons of time. So there are things that are eternal. Matter is eternal, cannot be destroyed. Energy is eternal. It can dissipate, but energy is eternal and the intelligence is eternal. So anyway, I see that we have a phone call. We are 56% through, and I'm going to finish the next paragraph, and then I'll take the phone call. Why did Jesus say among those that are born of women that there is none greater than John the Baptist? Oh, by the way, we're on page 127 if you're reading along. Joseph Smith provided the answer. First, he was entrusted with a divine mission of preparing the way before the face of the Lord, or of Jesus, whoever had such a trust committed to him before or since. No man. Secondly, he was entrusted with an important mission. In fact, one of the most important missions is preparing the way of Yeshua as our Messiah to come into mortality and to preach and teach and all the things that Jesus did leading up to the atonement. Anyway, and it was required at his hands, John the Baptist, and to baptize the Son of Man. And he baptized him so that Jesus could start his ministry, which was a thing. And in fact, before God told me to start this ministry in 2013, I was also baptized to start my ministry. I'd been baptized before that, but before I began this ministry, which I've done since 2014, January of 2014, God told me to be rebaptized. And so I think Jesus Christ probably was baptized before that, but to start his ministry, he was rebaptized. So whoever had the honor of doing that, baptizing the Son of God, whoever had still great a privilege and glory, whoever led the Son of God into the waters of baptism and had the privilege of beholding the Holy Ghost descend in the form of a dove, or rather in the sign of the dove. In witness of that administration, thirdly, John the Baptist at that time was the only legal administrator in the affairs of the kingdom that there was then on the earth. And holding the keys of power, the son of Zacharias wrested the keys, the kingdom, the power, and the glory from the Jews by the holy anointing and decree of heaven. See, the angel came and gave him those keys and that authority and that priesthood. He was baptized when he was 8 days old. And he was ordained to that power and that authority when he was a baby. And these three reasons constitute him as the greatest prophet born of a woman. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 275 and 276. Okay, so we're going to pause for just a minute. And I am going to bring up area code 254. In fact, let me just... Hold up, I gotta do something real quick. I can just make this work here. Okay, so we're gonna bring up area code 254. When I bring you up, area code 254, state your first name and where you're calling from, and then state your question or your comment, and then I'll try to answer anything that you might have to ask or whatever. So, all right, so bringing up area code 254. Okay, go ahead, 254.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm well. So what's your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, brother, my first name is Alameen, and I'm calling from out of Texas.
Okay. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say I thank God for you, and I thank God for the work that you are doing for our Father. And I just wanted to give you some words of encouragement, if that's okay.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with... did you have any other comments or questions or anything?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to you that one thing that we fail as beings on this planet is that one thing that we fail to do for one another is love each other. And that's why when I began my conversation with you, I wanted to share with you my appreciation and my love for you without even knowing you. And I know as a fact, as believers of those who read the Word of God, which has been left and instructed for you to read, it says that not only do you love those that you know, but love those that you don't know. And that's why I wanted to start off my conversation with you to let you know that I love you, because I'd never met you before. But yet, though,
yeah,
my love for you is real. And it's not going to change. It's only 24 hours in a day, and I'm going to wake up in the morning knowing that I did exactly what my Father instructed me to do. Love someone whom,
yeah,
I never met before. And that's the true,
yeah,
that's the true love that we're supposed to give each other.
Yeah.
I wanted also to let you know that what you're reading about John, our brother John, what you're reading about John is so right and is so dead on. But also at the same time, can I tell you a secret, brother?
Sure.
Before we hang up tonight, can I tell you a secret before we hang up tonight?
Yeah.
It's not so much of a secret, but to those that don't know, to them it's a mystery. But I just wanted to share something with you, man. My name is Alameen, and I want to share something with you. And like I say, it's only 24 hours in a day, and I know I got to go, you know what I'm saying? You might have to go to work. I might got to go to work tomorrow, but I'm going to wake up knowing that at least I did what our Father instructed us to do. Love one another and share with each other the truth, and confess to one another, you know, our sins before each other. One of my greatest sins on this planet is loving my brothers and sisters a little bit more than I ought to. Then I ought to love my Father.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's one of my greatest sins, because, you know, regardless of what they do to me or what has been done to me, I will always consistently continue to keep praying for forgiveness. Forgive them for what they know not.
Yeah.
And you said something that's so important, man. You said something that is so important, brother. Now, I want you to stay with that spirit that you have. I want you to stay with the spirit that you do got. It is the spirit of life, the universal life that is in you. And you made a mention. You said that energy never dies. You said that,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, energy never dies and those things like that, you know. And Can I share something with you, man?
Sure.
Just to be real with you, just brother to brother from God. You right, man. Mm-hmm. Energy don't never dies, man. We are reincarnations. You are a reincarnation of your past life, coming back in this life on the level that you own in this life, being exalted and raised higher than you have ever been raised before. That's what you are, my brother.
Yeah.
That's what you are, and that's what I am. A reincarnation of my past life, being brought back on this life, in this dispensation, lifted and raised to another higher level than we have ever been raised before. That's what we are.
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. on the flip side of that, brother, you want to know why we're having all these issues and all these problems in this life with serial killers and serial rapists and murderers and these cops killing young black men and these young black men killing each other and killing one another, killing white people and all of this killing going on? Those set of people are a reincarnation of their own past lives. They only back again doing what they did before. You see?
Yeah.
If you know mm-hmm. that you are a reincarnation of your life, you know what I'm saying, striving for the higher, striving for your higher self to reach and to attain your higher self and that goal and in that aspiration, then what about these in their lower self that are constantly conscientiously doing the same things that they're doing? Even politicians are reincarnations. Everybody is a reincarnation. Your mother is a reincarnation. My mother passed away when I was at the age of 3 years old. But I know that she was a reincarnation. You see what I'm saying? To bring, you know what I'm saying, me on this planet today. You see what I'm saying? But also, she was a reincarnation in her past life, and she had other children than me, and I'm here today because of her. And also are you, you know what I'm saying, here because of your mother being a reincarnation of a mother that was once here before. And that's what we are here today, man. Everybody on this planet, man, is, hey, man, I'm telling you something, man. What you're seeing on this earth today and what you're seeing going on this planet today with this chaos and with all this confusion, it's all because of people, man. Something happened, not just on the earth, but in the universe, too. And I'm not going to hold you long. I just wanted to share something with you, brother. I love you, and I just wanted to share something with you. But something didn't not only happen on the planet, something happened in the universe. Not only, you know what I'm saying, did those on the universe that were reincarnated on this planet begin to show their true colors and show their true face and where they was at in their reincarnation today, so have the universe itself set itself in place. Man, you got more black holes than scientists can examine. You got more, you know what I'm saying, or radiation coming from the sun than scientists can examine. You see what I'm saying?
Well, we're going brother, through so it. There's actually scientists, NASA, basically, they know that we're in an energy field right now. This Earth is going through a solar or a galactical energy field right now that we just entered into in the last couple of years. And so you're right about a lot of those things. But also, just to know that we are all eternal beings and that we are all created in the image of God, and that this life is only part of our experience. And then also, if people could just understand, I wish people could understand, when I was in the presence of God, the couple of times that I've actually been in his presence, like, his energy was overwhelming love.
Right.
Like, his power is his love. It is so massive, and the only reason he gets really angry at us as his children is because he loves us all and we hurt each other. You know, like, God wants us to treat each other right. He wants justice for everyone. He wants equality for his children.
Right.
He wants us to love each other. If you love him, you know, keep his commandments. Don't hurt each other. Like,
That's
serve
right.
each other. Like, the best thing that you could do as a child of God is to serve. In fact, if you are in the service of your fellow being, you are in fact in the service of your God. That's how you
That's
serve
right.
God, by serving others.
That's right.
And if people could just realize how much he loves
mm-hmm.
them and
mm-hmm.
how much he loves all of us.
That's right. And see, and you remember what your book said, right? God created
mm-hmm.
man on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, God rested. You remember that?
Yeah.
And you remember also that once God brought man down to the earth, that man sinned against God.
Yeah.
See, everything that God has done is already completed. God ain't got to finish nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We sinned back waiting for God to finish something. Man, on the seventh day, God rested from all his work, and all
yep.
his work was finished and done on that day. Now we're here in 2020 sitting back talking about we waiting on God to finish his work. No, baby, I want to tell you something. God's work has already been done. God's work is finished.
Yeah.
Your life.
Yep.
Your life, man, God has already stand in the faith. Keep
yep.
standing in faith. Keep standing in the spirit. For God has already finished that. For your life is finished.
Yep.
You see, God already finished his work. On the sixth day, God created man. And on the seventh day, God rested. Now, see, you're saying something that is so powerful, but because you're my brother, by our Father, and I wanna, you know what I'm saying, share this with you. Brother, listen to me. What we're dealing with now is people that, see, you're absolutely right. God created us all in his image, right? In his image,
yeah.
he created us, right? And our energy never
mm-hmm.
dies, right? So guess what?
Yep.
Half of these people that you're dealing with on the planet in 2020 is people that's on this planet that is reincarnated and back again from the year 300, from the year 200, from the year 600, from the year 1000.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying now? All today in 2020 mm-hmm. in physical what we call, you know what I'm saying, human bodies. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
In Homo sapien bodies, but yet though our energy, our spirit that is inside of these Homo sapien bodies have already been on this planet ever since year 200 or 100. You see what I'm saying?
Oh.
And some of us have
yeah, we're eternal,
God,
even before this earth. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And some of us have stayed in God. Man, some of us have stayed in God. We have done the work of God. We have done right. And every little bit of our coming back is to get us even more right with God. But we're on that path of being absolute with God. So that's why we keep coming back to just get something a little bit about ourselves right. So we can be in that right standard.
Yep.
But, man, there are people here, man, that has had evil in them since the beginning. You see what I'm saying? And when that man put his knee on that man's neck and looked in the camera, you didn't see a reincarnation or a spirit or someone that has already been on this planet thousands of years before. I did. I didn't just see a man in our modern day, in our modern times, in 2020. I saw a deity. I saw a being inside that body that has been on this planet thousands of years, man, thinking that what it did and what it was doing was correct in these days and time.
Yeah,
don't blame.
I believe
that
was.
Don't just sit back. Don't just sit back and look at this thing as if it's a black and white thing, because it is not, man. This thing ain't no black or white thing, man. We're dealing with
deity. They're trying to manipulate us. The government and the powers of this world, Satan's powers, are trying to manipulate us. And I believe personally that what happened to George Floyd was something that they planned to spark division in this country and around the world. Because if they can get us divided, tearing each other down, then they can enact their powers on us.
You know,
it's devilish. The whole thing is devilish. Yeah.
Brother, they know what you know. They know that energy never dies, and they know that the energy that was in that man that day was the energy that never died. that was the energy that has already had been on this planet one time before. That's why when they do place him in prison, he's not going to be in the same population as everybody else. He's not going to be in the same cell as everybody else. You see what I'm saying now? He's not going to have the same treatment as everybody else. Because
they might put him in prison, but they did. I believe that they did a deal with him as a corrupt cop. That he did what he did, and he got paid for it. He's going to have to go through all the trial and everything. I don't believe he will serve one day. Not one day, but I don't believe he'll serve a term. He was a tool in their hands. They're going to pay him off and let him out. I mean, that might be my own conspiracy theory. That's what I believe, though. So, anyway,
either this right here. See, there's black people that are killing black people that are only given 2 or 3 years. What if these people know what we know? And what if they're letting these spirits go free to do what they do? See, they know what we know. See, let us not just be talking to be talking, but let us make sense of this thing. They're letting these spirits do what they do. You see what I'm saying? They know that these spirits, man. They know that these spirits.
Well, the thing that upsets me.
Serial killer?
The thing that upsets me about this whole thing. Okay, so George Floyd, he had a bad history. He was in Minneapolis trying to get away from his history. He was trying to change his life. Yeah, he still screwed up with some things. You know, he probably still using or whatever. But he was trying to get right. Okay, so when they put their knee on his neck and they killed him, like, he could have gotten right if he had more time. You know, and that's what the travesty is here, that he lost his life, but he could have gotten better, made something really great of himself, and they put an end to that. Because of whatever reason they did what they did, I don't even know. But
I don't even think they did what they did. What I think it is that, see, our Christ spoke for a reason. And I think what it is, though, if you can just feel me and go to sleep on it tonight and just let the spirit reach it and just listen to what I'm saying. Brother, what if they're letting these energy never dies, right? So if energy never dies and you got a murderer from the 1700s who's spirit now is in a person in 2020, and they know this to be a fact. And trust me, these people that I'm talking about, oh brother, they know this. There's no reason why I stay and have $1 million home for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Trust me, what I'm trying to tell you, they know what I'm talking about. And see, the Roman Catholic Church. You remember there was a time when the Roman Catholic, matter of fact, it's still going on right now, that the Roman Catholic Church is giving out free courses to anybody who's willing to take a course in exorcism, driving out unclean spirits. What if these people are taking advantage of that and letting these spirits, these entities, these spirits in people do what they do? That's what I think. I don't think it has nothing to do with George Floyd. I don't think it has nothing to do with the police officer. I think it has everything to do with the spirit that is in these people, and they're letting these spirits, you see what I'm saying, run free on this planet, and it's going to cause more chaos and more chaos.
Yeah, those things have
because
been unleashed.
You're talking about two different creatures. You're talking about the spirit that in Chavez, that police officer Chavez, talking about the police officer Chavez itself. Those are two different entities. See, they don't care about, you see what I'm saying? They don't care about Chavez. It's about the spirit that's in Chavez. You see what I'm saying? And what's ever in him is what they're trying to keep on this planet, and they're trying to keep not just in Chavez, but they're trying to keep in other people these spirits, man. Energy never dies. And these spirits are taking over people, but there's nobody on this planet to drive them out. There's nobody on this planet today to cast them out. Christ used to drive out spirits and cast out spirits and demons. There's nobody on this planet today casting out spirits and demons. So guess what? These spirits are making people rich. These spirits are in the people are committing vile anger, vile hatred, vile madness. You see what I'm saying? So what if our planet, man, it's been taken over by spirits, bro.
Cut out there for a minute, so I didn't hear the last part of what you're saying, but could you wrap it up so that we can get back to finishing out this reading? We've got a little bit left, and I do got to go to work tonight, so.
Yeah, what I'm saying is this right here, man. They're keeping energy never dies, right? So they're keeping these spirits on this planet as long as they can. It doesn't have anything to do with Chavez. It doesn't have anything to do with George Floyd. It has everything to do with the spirit that is in people, and they're not so much, you know what I'm saying, concerned about us as individual peoples. They're concerned about the spirits that has taken over us. Like, for example, in the porn industry, yeah, they don't care about these women. They care about the spirits that's in these women. You see what I'm saying? Concerning our brothers and sisters, friends and families, they don't care about us. They care about these spirits that's in us. They want these spirits on this planet to stay on this planet as long as they can because they done made a deal with these spirits, not us.
Yeah. And I think you're touching on some stuff that's really deep that I think there's a lot of truth in it. But we do actually got to get on with this. So I'm going to put you back on hold. And then after I finish the reading, I'm going to bring up the other caller that is wanting to come on. But we've only got 30% left of this chapter. So I'm going to... Well, I'm going to finish reading this chapter. Thank you so much for calling.
Your Bible is going to mention everything that I'm saying. You're dealing with spirits.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's like deeper meanings to things. Like in the Jewish understanding, there's like, I think there's three or four different levels of understanding. You've got your surface level, and then you've got your deeper levels and your deeper meanings. And, you know, people that can't understand the deeper things, they'll get the surface stuff, but as they spend time with God and as they spend time getting revelation for themselves and being directed in the Holy Spirit, they're going to understand deeper things. And so maybe not everybody can understand what you're talking about right now because it's a deeper thing than the surface level stuff. But as you grow and as you spend more time with God, that He will reveal things to you that maybe other people may not understand. So anyway, I really am thankful for that caller from Texas, and I encourage you to call again, and you can continue to listen. And then I'm going to take this other call as soon as I'm done with the reading. Like I said, we're 70% through, and it won't take me long to get through it. But I do want to finish this chapter. I do have to work tonight. So let's get on with the reading. So anyway, and like I said, the text to what I'm reading is at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. I post all the chapters there. I also post them in Zion's Redemption Bookstore, Latter-day Unity, and a bunch of other places. So continuing on with the reading... On another occasion, Jesus said, "There is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So our second question is how it is that John was considered one of the greatest prophets and yet be least in the kingdom of God, because he served. That's, you know, as we serve, we place ourselves least, that we serve the masses, basically. So anyway, but that's Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 275. Again, the prophet answered, quote, and this is Joseph Smith, "In reply I asked, whom did Jesus have reference to as being the least? Jesus was looked upon as having the least claim in the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom, God's kingdom, and seemingly was least entitled to their credulity as a prophet, because they just rejected him. They completely flat out, you know, the higher ups rejected him, which caused those that followed the higher ups, you know, to reject Jesus as well. It didn't matter what he did. It didn't matter how much he loved them. It didn't matter how much he served them. It didn't matter how much he lived his life an example of somebody who lived the Torah completely. They rejected him because he wasn't one of them. You know, as far as they were concerned, he was a bastard child. Jesus was a bastard, as far as they were concerned. You know, because his mother must have slept around on Joseph, you know, and then they could also tear down John the Baptist because he was a wild man in the desert, in camel sayers, and, you know, all the things that, whatever. So they would consider Jesus and John the Baptist a bunch of lunatics who were least in the kingdom on the earth, right? Anyway, let's see here. I'm gonna read this this sentence again, since I should have just waited till the end of the sentence to give my commentary. But Jesus was looked upon as having the least claim in God's kingdom, and seemingly was least entitled to the credulity as a prophet, as though he had said, "He that is considered the least among you is greater than John. That is I myself." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 276. So we're on page 128, and I think this is the last chapter, page, but anyway, continuing. Another question in regards to the kingdom of God is, are miracles always evident whenever the kingdom of God is established on the earth? Once again, the Prophet Joseph Smith stated, and let me just say, I've done many miracles. I've healed people from the sick. I raised one person, not from death, but she was dying. This particular person that I'm talking about lived in Puerto Rico, and her mother called me, and I said, "Well, what's your daughter's name?" Because what happened was she had a lung disease, and she was like 18 or 19, the daughter was, and she stopped breathing. And the ambulance would take a while to get to where it was that they were in Puerto Rico, and she called me and she says, "Please pray for my daughter, she's dying, and the ambulance isn't going to be here." And anyway, so I said, "Well, what's her full name?" And I stood up with hands to the square, both hands to the air, like I've been commanded to do under the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. And knowing the authority that I have and the office that I hold as the second witness of the Father, I know that I have authority over certain things. And I commanded the angels that have charge over me, that watch out over me, to go to her and to heal her. So I didn't do it by the power of my priesthood, other than the fact that, well, I kind of did, but I commanded my angels that have charge over me to go to this young teenage, well, not young teenage daughter, but this daughter, and heal her. And when I said amen, she breathed again. She wasn't breathing. She was passed out. She was dying. And when I said amen, she started coughing. And all that disease that was in her lungs, when the ambulance finally got her to the hospital, the doctor said she doesn't have it anymore. She's been healed. So I know that God does do miracles on the earth, because I've seen them. I've seen many amazing miracles with the elements and with people's lives. But those things don't prove anything because prophets can do miracles too. The prophets of Pharaoh, they did miracles too. Simon the sorcerer actually was reported to be able to fly. He did miracles too. You know, but with miracles without God and without the Spirit of God, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, miracles can happen, but they don't need to be there as evident. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the fruit that we should be looking for. So, and each of us get a confirmation of the Holy Spirit as we seek the truth to know if the doctrine's being taught or the person that is sent is really from God. So there is a difference between the kingdom of God and the fruits and blessings that flow from the kingdom, because there were more miracles, gifts, visions, healings, tongues, etc. in the days of Jesus Christ and his apostles and on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost than under John's administration. But that does not prove by any means that John had not the kingdom of God any more than it would that a woman had not a milk pan because she had not a pan of milk. I don't know what Ogden is trying to say here, but it doesn't prove anything that John didn't do a bunch of miracles. God was with him. God sent the angel to ordain him, to baptize him, to set him apart for the ministry of preparing the way of Jesus, of Yeshua. And he was one of the greatest prophets. He didn't do a bunch of miracles. So like when people are like, well, you can't be a prophet because we haven't seen you do miracles. Well, my wife has. But miracles are not for signs. You can be a prophet in the kingdom of God, and all that means is God speaks to you. In fact, in Revelation it says that the Spirit or the testimony of Jesus Christ comes by the spirit of prophecy. Well, what happens when you receive prophecy? You're receiving revelation from God. And Moses said God wants all his children to be prophets. He wants us all to learn by the Spirit. And that makes you a prophet. Little P prophet. Not big P prophet like Elijah or John the Baptist. But anyway, so let's see here. Let me go back and finish this sentence. And this is, or remember, this is, in fact, I'm just going to read this whole thing again. See if I can read it right. This is Joseph Smith. There is a difference between the kingdom of God and the fruits and blessings that flow from the kingdom, because there were more miracles, gifts, visions, healings, tongues, etc. in the days of Jesus Christ and his apostles and on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost than under John's administration. But that does not prove by any means that John had not the kingdom of God any more than it would that a woman had not a milk pan because she had not a pan of milk. For a while, the pan might be compared to the kingdom and the milk might be compared to the blessings of the kingdom. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 273. John became the Elias, or the forerunner of Christ, or Messiah, and received a divine mission to introduce the Savior to the world. The Jews were inclined to believe John's mission because his father's testimony and the miracle in the temple. They then had to believe John's testimony of Jesus and Jesus' testimony of John. The power and the evidence of both John and Jesus provided irrefutable testimony to the Jews. John was the administrator of the kingdom under the authority of the Aaronic priesthood. Jesus administered the kingdom under the authority of the I always want to say the Hebrew word instead of the Melchizedek priesthood. Together, they introduced, restored, and established and organized the theocratic kingdom of David, which was the kingdom of God on the earth. The Lord told Joseph Smith that John the Baptist bore record of Jesus and a fullness of his glory. Then, speaking of a future time, Jesus said, "And the fullness of John's record is hereafter to be revealed." And God revealed that to the prophet Joseph Smith, and we can find that in Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 6. Apparently, when the people are more worthy and better prepared to receive such a glorious document, then it will be brought forth. So when we come back on, the next time I do a reading, I think we're going to do Levitical priesthood tomorrow night, but I'm not sure. I was kind of contemplating rebroadcasting that on Saturdays instead of doing it on Thursday nights and just saving the weekdays for the readings. And then we always do usually on Sunday nights, we do the Kevin Kraut and Friends, where we get together and we talk about all kinds of stuff like farming and preparation and all kinds of weird stuff. Like we talk about current events, we talk about just wherever the Spirit leads us. Anyway, but when I come back to do the next reading, we'll be in chapter 17, and that is John's imprisonment and death. So, all right, so we have a caller from Indianapolis. I think it's the same caller. Oh, now I'm not sure. Actually, I think that's my friend from Texas still. The other person, I think, dropped off, but let me just pull him up. 254, that's, I think that's Texas, right? This is Texas, right? Ahmad?
Yeah.
We had a caller from Indianapolis, and they held on for all this time, and then they dropped off, and they pushed the one button to come back on, but they didn't want to come on. Anyway, so have you read the book Reincarnation by Ogden Kraut?
I haven't read it.
So that is a book that I have covered on a past radio show it was either this radio show or it was The Kingdom of God or Nothing. But like, I just want to encourage the listening audience, if they don't understand reincarnation and multiple mortal probations and those type of things, to take a look at that book. It's called Reincarnation, and you can find that at OgdenKraut.com. That's OgdenKraut.com. And once you get on that website, you click on Read Ogden's Books, and then you scroll down to Reincarnation, and there's a whole bunch of books there that you can read for free that deal with all kinds of deeper subjects. In fact, my two favorite books is Reincarnation by Ogden Kraut and The Mysteries of Creation. If people could read The Mysteries of Creation and contemplate it and ponder over it and allow themselves to be open enough to get revelation on the subject, their mind will be blown about the reality and the truth of what we are, who we are. You know, like, it drives me nuts. Like, the Christian world, they think that this planet is all God's, you know, I don't know how to say it. This is not God's only creation. Look out at the stars, we're looking out at other solar systems with other planets and other inhabitants, and they are the children of God too. He fills the universe with his children and his creation and organizes out of chaotic matter order in this universe. And his work and glory is eternal. This creation, this is just part of it. This is a very small part of it. You know, and in the book of Revelation, when it talks about this planet becoming a sea of fire and glass, and this earth being done away with, and a new earth being created, this earth will become a celestial sphere. And God will create a new earth for us to go in. And like there will be another 8,000 years on another earth, you know, and there will be more creations and it will continue. And God wants us to learn and to grow through all the experiences that we have. And hopefully people that are in the darkness, eventually they'll be broken out of it. Because I'm telling you, I was in the darkness at one point.
That's right.
You know, I went through some things. I was homeless. I was a drug addict. But but God brought me out of that, and I learned from those experiences, and now I wouldn't want to go through it again, and I don't want anybody to have to go through that again, or ever. But God brought me through that, and you know what he told me when I talked to Jesus face-to-face? He said, all the things that you have gone through in your life, I have allowed to happen to you, and they happened.
That's right.
So that you could become my servant.
That's
he allowed it all. You know, so I'm not going to sit there and judge people that they're going through hard times, that they're angry, that they're doing these things. You know, I'm going to judge them in the fact that I'm going to stay away from them if they're going to hurt me, you know. But God has his hand in people's lives. And like, there's a true struggle and a true war between light and darkness, you know, and God wants to recover all his people. And sometimes in order to understand the light, you actually have to go into the darkness.
That's right.
Somebody
that's
never
brother.
Gone through any troubles, they don't know how good the light is until they know how the darkness can be sometimes. So anyway, well, I am thankful that you called tonight, and I'll try to be back on tomorrow night around the same time to read again, so you're welcome to call back in tomorrow night. But I think what I've got to do now, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning where I live, and I need to get on the road driving a truck. I've got about 500 miles before I can take a break and go to bed later on today.
Well,
so thank you.
Safe on that road.
Thank you so much.
Can I say this to you before you go? Because I definitely want you to be safe on that road, brother, and I love you. Also, too, what I beg those who call themselves Christians or believers or those who read the Bible, I ask them and I beg them to go back and reread it again and keep reading it again and read it again and again until they come to a full understanding. Because even Jesus, when the blind man came to Jesus and his disciples asked him, he said, when the crippled man, the lame crippled man came and was healed by Jesus, when they brought him in, his disciples was asking him, Lord, is it because of his parents' sin, or is it because his parents had sinned, or is it because something he did?
Or because
and guess
he
what Jesus
sinned.
Said?
He was born blind. How could he sin? Oh, because he lived before. Anyway, go ahead.
That's right. It was because of his past. It was because of his past life. That right there in the itself is see, reincarnation is your past life. So in the Bible itself, it explains to people that energy never dies. We only carry on, you know what I'm saying, from one life into another life. And so he was made that way, brought into this world lame and crippled how he was because of what he did in his past life. And that's what Jesus was trying to show people, even in that scripture, that reincarnation is real.
That's what the Jews were saying, but Jesus said that it's not because of something he did. He was made that way so that he could show
the glory
of God by healing him. Yeah, that's what that was all about. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't refute what they said. He didn't say, "Oh, that's just false doctrine." You know, he could have, but he didn't. He said.
There was another man. The man that you're talking about is absolute, so that God can get the glory. But there was another man, though, that the Lord just explained to him it was because of his past life. And when I read those words coming from out of the Son of God mouth, when I read those words coming from out of the lip of the spirit that I had 2,000 years ago, I knew then that, hey, either today we're going to get it right with God or we in trouble.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your past life to cause you to miss eternal life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, brother, I want you to be safe on that road, man. I want you to have a joyous trip, man. I just want you to know you are a son of God, man, and you are a brother of mine. And I want you to have a safe trip on that road. And if you come on tomorrow, I would definitely, you know what I'm saying, go 2 miles with you, you know what I'm saying? And my name is Alameen, so when you see 254 kick in, you know what I'm saying, you know that's me. So definitely, man, have a safe trip out there, brother.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. God bless you, and thank you for calling. I'll talk to you later. All right, so we're going to end the program right now, and I'll be back on tomorrow, like I said. So thank you, everyone who listened. Do remember that you can find this program on iTunes by searching Fundamentally Mormon. You can also find my old episodes by going and searching iTunes for The Kingdom of God or Nothing. And you can find my programs at blogtalkradio.com as well. So, all right, we're gonna head out, and we'll talk to you later. God bless. Oh, you know what? One thing I wanted to say before I left. The more time you spend with God, the more time he will spend with you. The more time you spend with God, the more he will reveal to you. If you want to know the mysteries of the heavens, get revelation for yourself, but spend time in the Word. And when you do that and you get more revelation and you get confirmation on the truth by the Holy Spirit, through his interpretation, not your pastor's and not your own, then he will reveal all things to you. And he will reveal himself to you in time. And you will know that he loves you and he loves all of us with a love that is ineffable and indescribable, that is more powerful than anything in the universe. And I say these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.